Hi.
How you doing, Gus?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. Appreciate the time today and want to get into the tour and the album and look back a little bit and get your opinion on a couple things. But dude, let's start
Absolutely.
with the killer new album, number 10 overall, and Stand United, first one with Herbie, obviously, and I know you did the tour with him, the
Second
second one
one.
now with Herbie. Tell me about writing this one now. When did you start working on this one?
We started working on it actually right after we started touring, when the pandemic started to wind down. All of a sudden, we were offered a couple of tours, and I didn't expect that. We didn't expect that. And we came to America to replace a special guest of Dragon Force at the last minute. And I think that kind of sparked the flame a little bit again, like, oh, this is cool. Maybe we should think about like getting back in the studio again, because, prior to that, it was pandemic. It was just like I didn't see much of a future until that whole thing was over, and nobody knew. But anyways, like to get back to it, like we started writing on and off in between tours. We started doing more tours, and then we started putting the plans in motion in between all the touring and all the festivals that we had. So it's been like a year in the making, I would say, from summer of 2022 until summer 2023 when it was finished.
Interesting. I figured during the pandemic, that's all you would be doing is writing music, but it sounds like you put the guitar down for a little bit.
No, I did a solo record during the pandemic. I did like my first all instrumental guitar solo record, because I just couldn't
Couldn't sit
reach
around.
out to anybody in place. I just did everything myself in my home studio, and I didn't really think about doing another Firewind album until things kind of opened up again. So yeah, I did get busy. I did make an album. It was a solo record, but then once we started touring with Firewind, I thought, okay, maybe now is the time to really think about it. Since we're back on the road and playing in front of people again, let's bring out some new music.
And how much do you get involved with lyric writing for Firewind, or do you just leave that to Herbie?
Actually, to be honest with you, like all these years, I never really got involved. I would have like ideas for titles, song titles, or maybe concept, but I never really sat down and wrote things unless I really had to. On this record, I was heavily involved though, because I started writing from scratch together with Herbie, and we went back and forth together with ideas. And actually, during the tour, I had a lot of downtime, and I was during the tours basically, and I would come up with little lines, and I would show it to him, and then kind of like bouncing back and forth. So I ended up writing quite a good amount of lyrics on this one, together with Herbie, of course.
Interesting. And I bet that was interesting for you to express yourself a different way. I mean, obviously you express yourself with the guitar, but now lyrically too.
I never really thought about it, because I always thought I was pretty bad at lyric writing, and I said, okay, I always leave that to people, singers. They know how to do that stuff.
Right.
And then once you kind of like dissect it and like you go over it and you analyze it, it's okay. I mean, I'm not a poet or anything. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But you can get your message across directly. If it's not if it's there's certain things and tricks that I learn along the way, and I said, okay, I'll have a go at this. And some things are better than others, of course. And then, of course, our co-producer Dennis Ward, he's always there to kind of guide us a little bit to make sure nothing sounds like the grammar is okay, or if it doesn't sound too cheesy, or I mean,
Totally.
so yeah.
So, whose idea was it to cover the Romantics talking in your sleep? Because it's a killer cover, man. I've always loved that song, and it's such a great riff. But who was the one that was like, "Hey, let's do this"?
Thanks. I'm guilty. I'm the guilty
Ah,
one about
killer.
that.
Tell me about that decision.
It's kind of a funny story. Yeah, because, well, here's the thing. We always kind of struck, we wanted to do a cover on this album. We knew that we wanted to record a cover song, and we just couldn't figure out which one, because all the 80s songs are pretty much done to death by now by all the metal bands. And it was one of those situations where just we were like, ah, we don't know. And then one day I was driving around, and it came up on the radio. And that's just a song, Talking in Your Sleep, that's always been on the radio. It's just a classic.
Totally.
And I was like, oh my God, like this could be the one. And then I Googled it, because I wanted to make sure that there's not like three metal versions of it out there. So And, you know, luckily nobody had done it, at least that I found out. And then I texted the guys. I said, look, hey, how about this one? And it turned out everybody was a fan of the song. And yeah, then it became like the easiest choice.
It's such a cool tune. I mean, their other big song, What I Like About You, is kind of like too happy, but I always thought Talking in Your Sleep had a cool like groove to it. And then you soloing on it and stuff. But yeah, just a cool groove to vibe on, man, for sure on that tune.
Yeah, because the main riff is like a bass line, and you just double the bass line with the riff is the bass line. And it's like you said, it just groovy, it just moves you, and can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, hats off to you, man. My wife's not a metal fan at all, but of course knows that song, and I had to play it for her. I was like, I know you don't like metal, but check this out. And she's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Cool. Good to hear that.
I'd be curious, man, is that one going to work its way into the set? I mean, with 10 albums, putting together a set list for this tour has got to be nearly impossible.
It does get, you know, harder as we progress into our discography. Because, of course, we want to play the new songs. We're excited about that. We want to revamp the set list. And you got to have certain songs in there, too, that are staples. You can't avoid them.
Right.
And it's just hard to please everybody, man. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to add Talking in Your Sleep. Maybe we should. It's an idea that I've had. Maybe we should add it at least for the American tour. Because I have a feeling it's going to go down well. So we still not made up my mind, but we'll see.
And then looking forward to the tour, coming back to the House of Blues Parish Room, seeing you there before, going to be there on the 26th of April, and then the next night at the Whiskey, and two historic places for different reasons. But man, I saw you, like I said, a couple years during NAMM, I think, at the Parish Room a few years back, and then and then always the Whiskey. Tell me, when you play the Whiskey, do you feel it? Do you feel like the history of that place when you're on stage there? Because I feel like just walking in the door.
Yes. Yeah. Same here. It's like you walk in there and you're like, oh my God, like everybody has played here. And my mind always goes back to the Doors because I'm such a big Doors fan. And, you know, I know their story, how they were like the house band and how they got discovered. So I always think about it. I'm like, oh man, like Jim Morrison and the guys were like, used to play on this stage. And, you know, and of course, all the other legendary bands of rock and roll, you know, Zeppelin, Sabbath, everybody stepped their foot on that stage. And yeah, man, there's something cool about that place. Like so it's always an honor to play the Whiskey.
And we should give a shout out to the bands you're bringing out with them, Edge of Paradise and Immortal Guardian.
Absolutely, yeah, we have two great bands with us. Yeah, Edge of Paradise, they're really cool. They have like all this, they're like melodic hard rock, but they have this cinematic sci-fi vibe to them. And then Immortal Guardian, those guys can shred, man. They're like they do like power metal, but they go into progressive stuff into as well, and they can shred. Like their keyboard player Gabriel, he can shred both on guitar and keyboards at the same time. Like, I mean, you got to see that, you know. So yeah, it's a good billing, you know. It's gonna be, we're looking forward to it. We're excited.
Could have called the tour a night of whole lot of notes going on.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely play them all at least once.
Gus, I appreciate the time. Last couple of things I wanted to hit you with. Got to talk a little Ozzy, man. I love the album that you did with him, Scream. And God, I remember when that came out, playing to death, Fearless on the radio. That was my jam from that album. I don't know. I feel like the whammy bar went away for a couple years and then it came back really strong. And I love the whammy at the beginning of that tune. And is that a baby of yours? Tell me, what's your baby on that album? Is there one that you really put your stamp on that you feel like is your signature song on that album?
I think the main single, the lead single, Let Me Hear You Scream, was that's the one, like, because I remember recording the album in Ozzy's studio and spending like 4 or 5 weeks there doing guitars. And I remember flying back to Greece, because that's where I live. And I remember, I was like, okay, I'm done with guitars. Everything is done. And then I got an email from Sharon and she's like, we need you to come back to re-record one solo for Let Me Hear You Scream. And she's like, well, I'm like, why? I thought it was great. And she's like, well, look, this is going to be the first song that people will hear you on the new, you're going to be the new guy and people will be like checking you out on that one. So I just think you can do better. And, man, she was right. You know, I was like taken aback for a little bit. I was like, what? But then, you know, I sat down, I don't know, I just dissected all each part down. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like it was a different vibe going into it. Like, okay, I have to think that this is going to be the first thing that somebody's going to hear me on that has no idea who this guy is. So we have to grab their attention. So I think that solo is very representative of my style. It has a lot of those kind of things that I do a lot on my playing. And it's just such a cool track. It's a big song, man. Yeah. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, massive. That was for sure the big hit off of that album. Are you a guy that normally does write out the solos, or are you just kind of freeform it?
No, I do write the solos. I do. I come from the Randy Rhoads kind of school, you know, as you construct the solos part by part. I do think the parts out. I mean, I do improvise a little bit over the backing track to get some initial ideas and stuff. And then I kind of narrow it down to what it would be like and then piece it all together. Yeah.
Interesting. And I was thinking back to touring with Ozzy and then Ozfest, which was out kind of where our radio station is, out in San Bernardino. And I was watching some old footage of you guys playing together, and I remembered, oh yeah, that was Ozzy in the Buckets of Water era. Was there any mishaps with any water on stage? Did he get any on you and your guitar, slip on any? Tell me about touring with Ozzy.
Yeah. I mean, actually, no, I never got the buckets, but I don't know if you remember, he had that massive
hose,
fire hose that had it was spraying foam gun, whatever that was. So yeah, and yeah, that definitely went onto my guitar and my pedal board quite a few times. Like my pedal board was all covered in nylon because, you know, we knew it was an accident just waiting to happen a couple of days into the tour, and it did happen quite a few times. But it's I loved it. You know, it's like part of a wild rock and roll the touring stories next to Ozzy. You know,
no mishaps with it. Never got into the equipment and shorted out a pedal or anything.
No, I know. Thank God, no. It was all good. Yeah, we were prepared for it. You know, so.
And, you know, talking about Ozzy a little bit, I know he's a big practical joker. Any practical jokes come to mind that you think of your time with him? I mean, I know he's not always trying to pull something on somebody.
Practical joke. I mean, he loved, you know, Ozzy's just, yeah, he's a jokester. He's just like sitting in a room with him within 2 minutes, you know, you'll be laughing your ass off. That's just the kind of guy he is. I can't really remember anything right now off the top of my head, you know. It's hard to remember something off the top of my head, sorry. But, you know, he did all kinds of stuff. I think one time he was telling me like a story about Steve Marriott, that how he set himself on fire and died in his sleep or something, the guy from Humble Pie. And I was like, what, really? No, man, right? And then like a couple of days later, we were taking a flight, and I went, you know, he was talking about it, and I went into, we went to the plane, and he's like, oh, Gus, you should read this magazine. There's this whole Steve Marriott story here about his life and his car. I'm like, really? Yeah. You should sit down and read it now. I'm like, why? Just read it. Okay. I'm like, all right. And then I start like reading, and right in front of him, and he's looking at me, and I'm reading this whole article about like Steve Marriott, like pages long. And then as I turn the pages, he had drawn fire over his head. I'm like, oh my God. Like, he was just, Ozzy went in and doodled, like, just the kind of guy he is, you know?
Love it, man. Thanks for sharing that story. Last thing I got to hit you with, man, we're an old school radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallica every night at 10 p.m., which you're going to be a part of. And I've been having this Metallica debate, and I'm curious to get your take on it. Kind of debating their best thrash metal album of all time, which, in my opinion, kind of boils down to Ride the Lightning versus Master of Puppets. And me and my friend are having this debate. He comes down on Ride the Lightning, or I come down on Master of Puppets. How say you out of those two?
Oh, man. Why? Why you have to do this? But, yeah, well, I think I'm leaning more towards Master of Puppets, though.
Tell me why.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something about that album. I mean, Ride the Lightning is a masterpiece, but Master of Puppets,
flawless.
Just yeah, like from start to finish, it's just like, it's got all the ingredients are there. Like everything is there just at the right dose. And it's just, that's the one.
Yeah. You just put on that album, let it play. Like Riot's great. And there's great songs on there, and that's what makes it a tough debate. But I always kind of felt like it was kind of recorded in a bathroom. The sound quality wasn't great on that album.
Right. I think probably, yeah, they perfected the production on master. You know, that's what it is too. Like the guitars are like, oof.
Yeah.
They're cutting through like a razor, man. They're incredible. And the tone, it's just, wow.
And to have something like Orion and Welcome Home, and then Brutally Heavy with Master and Damage Inc. and Disposable Heroes, it's like everything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the tracklist of that album is incredible.
Do you have a favorite song we could play for you on Mandatory Metallica?
A favorite Metallica song?
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, we should play from Master, obviously, since we've been talking about it. Battery, I love it.
The opening track.
Yep.
We'll rock.
I gotta go with that. Sorry.
No, that's beautiful. I love that song. I mean, talk about heaviness, man. When the guitar kicks in, woo, beautiful. Thank you so much for the time. It was an honor to get to talk to you, and hopefully, I'll see you out there at the show.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, man. See you out there soon. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Have a good, safe travels.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety. Available on all the major platforms. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now. Just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety. Available on all the major platforms. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now. Just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock.